Hit the theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Sorry, I was just enjoying the theme tune.
It doesn't grow old.
Well.
Or does it?
I'm not sure it's going to be around in like 20 years.
I think it needs another verse and a chorus maybe, and turn it into a proper song.
Not 20 years though, I don't think. No. I think we've got to be honest.
I think that's pushing it.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we today, please?
It's actually an event that we all know and have spoken about before, but I've written a small statement to sum up this chapter, if that's all right with you.
A statement?
Yeah, just a sort of header on the top of this chapter. I quickly wrote it.
OK, is this in capitals? We have to imagine.
Italics.
Italics, OK.
It had been a controversial story that I feel has been wrongly reported and represented. My turn to give my side of the story. What really happened that day?
So this is quite recent, is it?
It is, yes. And it's from our time in Edinburgh when I attempted to do the chicken nugget challenge, which I've had no end of stick from you two. And I think it's about time I give my side of the story.
Now, I think you can still watch this, can't you? Radio 1 YouTube, it's still there. Chris trying to do the chicken nugget challenge on stage at the Fun and Filth Cabaret in Edinburgh.
So I'm going to give you the story of that day. If that's okay with
you. As you see it, through your eyes.
Through my eyes, exactly what happened. The truth.
Sure. Right, let's get on with it.
Well, I'm Clive Keane. And I'm ready.
I'm going to be Tom from Keane.
I'm Milton Keynes.
Nice roundabouts.
Ready?
Ready.
Ready.
It had been a tiring and tense day so far. I was with Scott Mills and the rest of the team in Edinburgh, Hello. Scotland, putting the final preparations to that evening's Fun and Filth cabaret show. To be fair, I was mainly just trying to stay out of people's way. I wasn't being entrusted with too many responsibilities.
What do you mean?
Everyone was so busy. The one that doesn't speak was all over the place trying to sort that evening. He had a lot to do.
A lot.
Becky was quite busy. You were sort of busy. But
I was really busy.
I had nothing to do. Literally no one would give me any jobs, even though there were a lot to do.
Yeah.
The day had been busy, though. We had done our normal radio show, which had all gone well, even despite the tiredness from a weekend in Zante the day before. For me, it was just really exciting to be at the Fringe. It was my first proper run out as an official team member, and like every time I've run out onto a pitch when playing football, I knelt down and kissed the turf of the Astro on the seated bit outside the studio.
You did as well!
And pointed to the sky. It was a big moment.
You did.
You know that bit outside the studio where people could go and sit down? There was a bar, there was an AstroTurf.
Yeah, fake grass, yeah.
And as we walked through the gates, I did feel emotional as we all walked through together. It was like us and a few other people from work. That I did do what I did with football, and that's just bend down, sign of the cross, bend down, and then look to the sky.
I did witness this.
Did you just think he dropped something?
Yeah.
One of the big highlights of the Radio 1 show was the catering truck next door to the studio, which, although Becky was wary of, was a complete revelation for me. I was given a lunch token every day, starting with beef olives on day one, which I'd never had before, but were epic.
I remember how excited you were about this, because you kept going, oh, I wish we could take this back to work, I wish we could get one of these back at home.
We don't get lunch here.
We do get lunch here, but we just don't have a catering van, like, on hand 24 hours a day.
It's like a shop we can go to.
I mean, it was brilliant.
He'd never
seen it. Really was brilliant.
Mm.
Beef really, olives?
I know.
What is a beef olive?
I didn't think I'd like them. I don't like olives.
Is a beef or olive?
It's beef. Get this. It's
is it like
beef.
A beef tomato?
It's beef with stuffing inside it. It's great.
So it's not an olive at all?
No, and it's just covered in gravy and...
You've changed.
Anyway, it was a great lunch.
He was like, what, even tea and coffee? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Get involved?
Yeah. Yeah, and a bread roll. I was wary of eating too much that day, though, as that night was to be the night that I was going to attempt to beat the world record for the most amount of chicken nuggets eaten in 3 minutes, a record that stood at 21. I would have to eat 22 in under 3 minutes to win this challenge, and talk of a potential date with in-betweeners lovely Emily Atack. All day, I was fairly confident that this was going to go my way. However, as the day moved on, a few nerves started to set in. I didn't quite realise the scale of the event, and as the day progressed, I saw the massive theatre that the cabaret was happening in, and all the cameras setting up ready to show this on the red button and on the Radio 1 website.
You got scared.
I hadn't really thought about all of this. I just sort of blocked it out until then, I think.
No, actually, you were being uber confident.
Yeah, I could do that.
I didn't think it would be a problem.
You really didn't, though.
There were a few hours to kill between the radio show and the Fun and Filth Cabaret, so not having much to do, I decided to have a beer and decide on my tactics for taking the chicken nugget challenge. I hadn't done much research on the subject, but having starved myself all day, I decided that the best way to get ready for the challenge was to start my engine.
What about the beer and the beef olives?
Yeah.
I decided to start my engine by treating myself to some fried chicken. Oh. This made me more hungry, though, and a few of the guys were treating themselves to food from a Portuguese chicken restaurant, which sounds like Fernando's. So I helped myself to a bit of that as well. I met the lads from Scouting for Girls, who had written a song all about my attempt at the nuggets, which was going to be performed by them live throughout the challenge. I asked for their advice, and they told me I just needed to go for it. Speed was the key. I trusted their opinion, why wouldn't I? And then I heard the crowd roar, and the Fun and Filth theme tune start up. I suddenly realised this was all real. I watched as one by one acts were called up and brought to the side of the stage, each time greeted with a massive cheer. Then a man with a headset came to our area and called for me to come up. I looked up, and as I walked up the ramp, various people patted me on the shoulder and wished me luck. It reminded me very much of the video to the classic Busted song, Who's David?
I'm not familiar. Remind me?
So the whole video to Who's David, in case you don't know, is their backstage at what looks like sort of Wembley Arena, and it's there they get told in the dressing room, right, showtime, and then it's them moving from the dressing room to the stage.
How exciting.
But it's really exciting and very dramatic, and the cameras follow them as they go through. And
Becky's just now watching the video.
I'm just trying to find it. Yeah, there's no nuggets so far.
No, there will be no nuggets in this.
But... he's just talking about the build-up.
Oh, right.
Now, let's not forget, the stakes were quite high with this challenge, because if you actually achieved the world record for chicken nuggets, you would have won the hand of Ms. Emily Attack.
Yes. Well, exactly. That was the other added pressure.
That was the thing. It was a date with Emily, wasn't it?
Yeah. That also made it a very unnatural environment as well, because there's not many food-eating competitions where you win an in-betweener at the end of it. Mm. Or an in-betweener lovely. She's not an actual in-betweener, is she? The lads from Scouting for Girls gave me a pep talk. I could see through the curtain there were a lot of people in the room. And then I was given my cue from the man in the headset. 3, 2, 1, on you go. I gave him a second glance. I wondered if he was the same side of the stage guy that was on the X Factor.
I knew you were going to say that.
It was an odd moment because he did that. And I was sort of so focused on going on and doing the job. And then all of a sudden my mind was distracted by him. I was like, hang on a minute, you've robbed that line. But I had to quickly forget that trail of thought. I walked out on stage and one of the more intimidating situations of my life. After a small chat with Scott and Grimmy, I sat down at my seat where I was doing the challenge. The nuggets were in front of me. It was clear they had been sitting there a while. I looked up and people were just staring at me, and there was a large camera pointing right in my face. This was not a happy eating environment. This wasn't a hut of pizza buffet or a Chinese all you can eat with my cousin situation. In fact, I didn't really feel hungry at all. And then Scouting for Girls started up. That was weird enough. They were singing a song about me. It was not a natural environment, but going for it, I grabbed two nuggets and tried to stuff them both in my mouth.
Oh.
But the nuggets were cold, and this was clearly the wrong way to eat them. They wouldn't go down, they just congealed into a nugget ball. I was struggling in a very public way. I tried to just stuff more into my mouth, but nothing would go down. I was making things worse. It suddenly began to get very hot. This was not helped when Emily Attack got up off her seat and started to force feed me more of the nuggets. I desperately tried to man up, but swallowing such a huge nugget ball made me feel massively ill. Before the challenge, for health and safety, I had agreed a secret sign if I felt I was going to be sick, so that they could move the cameras away from me to someone else. I needed to do this sign. I was wary, however, that Scouting for Girls had written a whole song, and I didn't want to cut that short. For a minute or so, I held it in. Although the crowd cheered me on, there was nothing I could do. I gave the secret sign. I had failed. I needed 22 nuggets to win. I got 7. It was an incredible opportunity for me to show my worth, and I felt I let everyone down.
How many did you actually swallow? Was it just 7 nuggets in your mouth, or did you... like, did you actually swallow any?
Well, if we're going to be pedantic, I thought I got more in my mouth, actually, than 7, and the big screen wasn't keeping up. So
so now you're blaming someone else, the operator of the big screen.
I felt he had a part to play, actually, in my
Do you think
my
he had ulterior motives?
What do you mean? Jealous?
Yeah, do you think he also fancied Emily Atack?
I think he did. I was looking at the big screen at one, but I looked behind me and it said 2. I was like, come on, you're having a laugh. At least help me out here. We're all on the same team, I
thought. Maybe he's counting nugget balls rather than actual nuggets.
Chris, you know what I mean? Chris, it wasn't very many, whatever it was. We were all there.
I felt I let everyone down.
You did.
Yes.
I got a lot of stick for my failure, but I hope more people can now empathise with me a bit. If you're ever boshing nuggets, my advice would be slow and steady and don't eat a large amount of chicken before. It was one of the stranger experiences of my life so far, but I've become a stronger man for it. So does that clear up what happened on that day, really? I feel like I've almost made things worse for myself.
Yes. I think you blame quite a few people apart from yourself.
I think there needs to be an inquiry. I think there needs to be a full inquiry into this.
Is this going to be like the Leveson of chicken nuggets?
I think it could be. I think it's got legs, this. The thing is, with my time at the Tap End, there hasn't been that many regrets. But that is probably my biggest regret so far. Because I know I could have done better. Mm. I know I could have done better.
And if you had done it, by now you'd be Mr. Emily Atack. Possibly.
Technically, she would have been Emily Stark, probably, wouldn't she?
Yes, whatever you want to think, but yeah.
Imagine being called Mr. Atack. That's a good name, isn't it? I'd pronounce it Attack.
I've bossed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the Tap End.
At the Tap End.
This is Scott Mills on BBC Radio.